So I'm going to turn the recording on, and let's get going. So first of all, thank you guys so much for taking the time to join the webinar with me, especially on a Thursday night. I know there are quite a few Scandal fans out there, and when I realized, much to my dismay, that there was no Scandal, I was like, oh, well, we can talk business, so let's go ahead and do that. So thanks for taking the time, especially we're getting ready to go into kind of, I think, a long holiday weekend. I mean, even though Christmas is not until 4 or 5 days away, quite a few people are taking off. This is their last day at work, so I do appreciate you joining us. What we're going to talk about is your strategic plan for next year. That is the purpose of it, is to be strategic and intentional in your business during the next year. And hopefully this will set a really great precedent so you can be successful for many, many years to come. So why do we have strategic, what's the reason for having a strategic plan when it comes to your business? What I have found working with clients and even in my business, I've probably been self-employed for about a little bit over off and on for 12 years, consistently for the last 4 years. Even when I was a real estate agent, you're still your own boss. So having a plan really helps you identify when your lean times are, gives you an opportunity to figure out when you won't have much business. It gives you an opportunity to figure out when there are times in the year when you get the most business. And what are you going to focus on? What will you spend your time on this coming year to make sure that you're going to be getting the best bang for your buck? So you should have, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. Everyone should have the worksheet. I will stop periodically for Q&A, but if you have a question while we're going on, go ahead and you can enter in the chat. And I think you can also raise your hand. And if that's the case, then I'll go ahead and give a break so we can unmute everyone to give you that opportunity to talk. So one other thing I want to mention, I mentioned that we are getting ready to go into our Christmas break. Like I said, some people are off today. That's their last day at work. I mean, you should probably have a good 4 or 5 days, and a few days after that, after you've had relatives come to visit you, after they're gone, you can spend some time working on it. It doesn't take long. You can stop and start. You can, take a look at a couple of the different questions and figure out, okay, if you don't necessarily know the answer right this minute, then you can, come back to it and think about it. So let's get started. If you look at the first, your first page, it's called reflection. So we first want to start with celebrating and reflecting. One of a key mistake that I feel that entrepreneurs make, and even myself, I've made the mistake quite a few times, is we don't actually spend any time reflecting and celebrating the things that have worked this year. We set new resolutions, new goals, new dreams for the year without taking stock of where we are now in our business, in our lives, and what we want to change and if there's anything that we do to change. I'm always surprised at how little clarity business owners have of where their business is right now, their finances, their customer base, achievements, I mean, even challenges. It's almost like you're too afraid to look at it. But if you look in your past, if you've ever thought about that, you can kind of look behind you and look in the past and figure out what are some key things that you can change. So if you have a sheet right in front of you, take a second and write down, what were some of your business accomplishments over the past year? I know that we have a few of you that are on the screen, I'm sorry, that are looking at the webinar, but we have a couple of you that are listening in because I can see you guys on the dashboard. And I know one of you has wrote a book this year. I know one of you launched a new business this year had a launch party. I know a couple of you guys set some class deadlines and things to that effect. I even know we've got one or two bloggers that are on the line, not necessarily on the webinar, but I have one or two bloggers that wanted to work with a brand. And they got an opportunity to work with that brand. One or two of you even I'd say one of you even got a really great national commercial that came from your blog. So So take a second, and if you're not able to print out the worksheet, just grab a sheet of paper and write down what are some of your business accomplishments that you've had over the past year. And I'll give you a second to do that. All right. The next one is, I'm the money girl, so we're going to talk money. What was your gross profit this year? And that's every dollar and cent that came into your business. Are you even aware of that? And then the next line is, what was your net profit? So that's taking the total income that you had and subtracting your expenses. And if you don't know that now, that's okay. But make sure you do spend some time and you come back to this. So if you're not keeping track of your expenses and your income and expenses, one of the ways for you to do that is to look back at your bank account. If you've got PayPal, or if you use PayPal for your business, if you have a checking account for your business, take a look at what money came in and what money went out. I'm going to give you a little tip. I use a service called Outright, Outright, and it is like Mint, but for business. So you can connect it with your checking account, and it will pull in your checking account and PayPal, and it'll pull in all your transactions. And from those transactions, then you can determine what was the income and what were your expenses this year and what is your net profit. So if you don't know that now, you're going to want to find that out. You should actually know in any given month what your income is and what your finances are. So there are a couple of you who have not started this yet. I see Chantel mentioned that. That's fine. So right now, right this second, maybe this portion may not apply to you, but going forward, there are going to be quite a bit that will apply to you. At least now you'll know, you get to kind of hear about things that you should be thinking about as you decide what your biz will be and going forward. So that's totally fine. Don't worry about that part. We'll get to the good stuff for you soon enough. So after you've written down your expenses, now since I have you guys on mute, go ahead and do me a favor and go into the chat and tell me, are you surprised at what you think your profit is of this year? Was it close to your goal, far away from your goal? Not even close? Far, far. Yeah, yeah. So this is going to help you. And it's very rare. I don't know many people that have, I mean, there are people that exceed their goal, but usually most people don't really necessarily know what a goal is. So I'm going to get to their question, how do you project a goal? We're going to talk about that in a second. So just give me a couple of seconds. So the next thing I wrote, what were your three biggest selling products or services this year? So some of you guys have product businesses, some of you guys have service businesses. Now, if you, so we've got product business, service business, and maybe there's bloggers on here. So if you are a blogger, and you don't necessarily have a product or a service business, but ways that you may make money is affiliate sales, which is what I do, working with brands, maybe freelance writing, advertising. So when you look at into that, when I say what are your three, which top three of those did you make the most money? So if you have a mix of affiliate sales, working with brands, advertising, which ones brought in the most money? Maybe you sell a product online. If you offer a service, I know we have a makeup artist, so is it which top three brought in the most income? And then you can notice there are two sections. So the first section, I'd like for you to put on the first line what that product or service was. And then the next line, I want you to put the cost. So So if a person, you know, one of you guys sells, has the t-shirt line, so your t-shirts cost 20, 30, 40 bucks, put that on there. If you use multiple t-shirts or jewelry, put what the price was. And you'll see why that applies in a minute. The next is marketing. There's so many channels of marketing, so many different ways that you can market. And this year, what worked for you? What were the different avenues or channels that worked? And, you know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we have to ask this question. What was the worst thing about your business in 2012? I know we're not done yet, but what was the thing that you did not like or did not work for you? I know, you know, for me personally, I'm not going to say it was the worst thing, but there were quite a few, I had quite a few ambitious goals this year, and I tried to do them all at once, and that didn't work out. I wasn't focused, and that was not a great thing at all. And then follow that by what was the best thing about your business in 2012. Now I'm going to start end on a good note. Does anyone have any questions? I can take you guys off of mute really quickly.
You are now unmuted.
Any questions?
No.
All right. Okay. So that.
You are now muted.
So let's look at the second page. Here we go. And then for those of you who have not started a business yet, this is going to apply to you. What does your 2013 business look like? So if you haven't started a business, starting the business, that's what it's going to look like. You may choose to start a business doing whatever. Do you know, if you know what type of business you're going to start, go ahead and put it in the chat. That'd be great. Okay, so is 2013 the year that you're going to start it? Awesome. All right. So what does that look like? I know for me, when I answered this question, I would like to continue quite a bit of the things that I did this year, such as having the specific workshop, continuing building a community. But I also want to take more planned vacations this year. So my business needs to be leveraged this year. That's one of the things I want to work on. And that takes us into our next question, which is what are your three strategic goals for 2013? So, for example, maybe you want to write a book this year. Maybe you'd like to have more speaking engagements. I mentioned leverage. I would like to leverage my business. So, you know, one of my top three strategic goals for this year is to leverage my business and build more of a community. So Smart Money Chicks has one physical chapter, and for years I've received calls to expand Smart Money Chicks in other states. And I've always turned them down and said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. We're not ready for that. But this year for 2013, We are going to expand into other cities and, you know, other states. We have our first one starting right here in Georgia. And then slowly after we do Georgia for the first couple of months, kind of as a pilot, then we're going to go a little bit further and start, you know, going back and calling all the people that called and asked for Smart Money Chicks chapters early on. So that's something we're going to do for 2013. So building a Smart Money Chick local community beyond Georgia, one of our strategic goals for 2013. So write down, you know, what your goals are. So if you're just starting a business, your strategic goal may be to start, to get up and running. You don't want to you know, I know they're saying shoot for the moon and worst case scenario, you'll be amongst the stars. And that's really, really great. Fine to do that. But let's be strategic about this because this is the reason why we're doing this. And then next we're going to talk about revenue. So money, that's my thing, and that's important. That's why we're in business. Usually it's money, freedom. Those one of those top two is usually the reason why. And money gives you freedom, and you need money to do things to pay your lights and your bills. So let's just set a revenue goal for the year 2013. Now, I caution you, a lot of times people will set these huge goals, and they'll say, you know, I want to make $100,000 next year, and that's great. Six figures, everybody wants to make six figures. But is that realistic? And the important thing to learn about goals is, you know, goals should be smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So after that, we've got the monthly bare bones revenue goal. So I want to drill down a little bit further into that revenue goal, and we've got our monthly bare bones new goal. So what a bare bones revenue goal would mean, what that consists of is how much money does it take for you to live each month? That is your paying all of your utilities, making sure you have your rent and your rent or your mortgage paid. If you're in business and you have services that you pay for in your business, it's taking care of that. If you're to the point where you have employees, and I wonder if you're not even making your bare bones number, maybe employees aren't the best thing for you, but if you're employees, how much money do you need to make each month to survive? That's a bare bones revenue goal. So if it takes $3,000 a month, then $3,000 would be your goal. And then that means your revenue goal at a minimum would be $36,000 for the year. Now, if you haven't started your business yet and you have a full-time job, and you can set a goal, but I like to set a goal with when you're working full-time. I like to start with either $500 to $1,000, and that's what I'd like to make each month when you're employed and you've started a business afterwards, after work, because you have to be considerate of the amount of time that you can spend on it. So I think $500 is a really great starting point. Then you move up from there to, you know, 1,000, and then maybe you'll move from there. Think about it. If you have a job and you're working on the side, you can save for, you know, you can get enough money so you can pay, say, your mortgage or your rent. That's a good goal to set. And then the next number I call is your happy goal. So this is enough money that you're making each month where you are covering your expenses and you have a little extra. So you're not going to go on, you know, a cruise around the world. You may not go and buy a S-Class Mercedes, but you have enough money that you're happy, you're comfortable, you're not, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, you know, so to speak. But this is a number that, you know, you'd be doing fine with. And then the next thing on there is a stretch goal. Now, the stretch goal is the goal that if everything was going right, this is the amount of money that you would make. So say $3,000 is your bare bones goal. $5,000 is the happy goal a month. Your monthly stretch goal, maybe $10,000 a month. That would give you over six figures. And it's good to have these numbers. Now, other things that you should track, and it's not, and I didn't allow time for this, but other things you should track would be, you know, your client database, your list or your subscriber, if you have an email marketing list. You want to track how many people are on that list. And the reason why you want to do that is because, you know, when you're going forward and you're selling, you know, a product or service, you want to continually add new people to the mix. You want to continuously add new clients or new customers into the fold. So you want to be able to track that on a monthly basis. I track each month at the beginning of the month. I know how much I how many people I had last year or last month, and then I track next this month. And I usually set a goal that I want to increase it. You can also track your social media numbers, like if you're using Facebook or Twitter. You know, those matter and they don't matter. I would say, you know, ideally you want to have more clients or you want to have more clients on your actual email subscriber list than you do as far as social media is concerned, but social media is how you're going to find them. So the question was, what tools do you use? Well, if you have an email subscriber, if you have an email list like AWeber or MailChimp, you could use that. So for me, I track my AWeber mailing list. That's how I determine how many people. I track that number each month. And then I also track my Facebook numbers. I track Twitter. I track how many times I was mentioned on the web. Track how many my website visitors, my views, how many people have viewed my website. I track that. I have calls on here. If you are in a business where people will contact you to come out in your service, like when I was a real estate agent full-time, a real estate broker, I would track the calls. I would track how many times a person calls to purchase a house or sell a house, because that told me what I was doing as far as marketing is concerned. Another tool, if you do not have an email or subscriber list, I mentioned AWeber, MailChimp. There's also, you know, Feedblitz that you can use. You can also use a good old Excel spreadsheet if you want to, as you're meeting people, and if you want to use your card, if you're taking their cards and you want to input the information via your card, you want to do that. You can use the email, Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. And there's tons of CRMs out there. I use my mailing subscriber, and I have something called Meet Receipts that scans business cards. So those two. I don't necessarily track the business cards that I get in Meet Receipts, just because I may get a business card and that's not necessarily a client. But if they have, if they joined my subscriber list and are opted in, then that's a client to me. So I don't want to go too far off on a tangent, but most people aren't really sure what you should do when it comes to if you have a product-based business and how are you going to get people to subscribe. You know, think of a discount or something to that. Maybe you offer them, if they sign up for your email list, you offer them a discount. Think about that's what, you know, say a Gap does or a store does. They'll offer you 10% off or 15% off or access to special sales. That way you're not necessarily sending them an ebook. You might send them, you know, a discount. So let's think about, you know, what products or services do you plan to offer in 2013? And the reason why I had you write down what were your three biggest selling products or services this year is because do you want to continue to offer those products? Or would you like to add more? Do you want to try something different? And I only have room for you to put three, but you may offer more than that. So if you offer more than three products here, or three products or services, and here's what you do. If you're offering classes, if you offer one-on-one, if you have a book, or if you have something to that effect that you sell, go ahead and write all of those down in the space provided. And then put how much each one brings in. So if you sell a shirt for $30, right, you know, shirts, $30. If you offer a class, one specific class, and that specific class is, you know, $250, right, to $250. And then what I would like for you to do is rank them according to how much each one of them brings you in and how many you have the most success with. And then that should tell you where you should focus. All right. So marketing strategies will you focus on in 2013? Now, we talked about this. We said there are hundreds upon hundreds of ways to market. Which ones are you going to focus on this coming year? I mean, you know, when it comes to social media, you want to focus on the channel where your customer or your clients are. If you found this year that you spent quite a bit of time on LinkedIn, but you didn't have a return on LinkedIn, then maybe that's not what you spend time on next year. If you found that most of your clients came from referrals, then that might be what you want to focus on next year. So what are those three marketing strategies? Do you want to try something new? A lot of times people will focus on 10, 15, 100 things at one time. That's both good and that's bad. It's not good. What's good about it is that you know that there's those other opportunities out there. What's not so great about it is that you have no consistency, and I bet that the person that is focusing on 5 to 10 different things, that person does not know what is bringing in their customers or their clients. They have no idea where they're getting their business from when you're focusing on 10 different things. And not only that, it's not the most efficient use of your time. So I want to go ahead and take a break, and I'm going to unmute everyone. Now, if you are not on, if you're listening through the computer, you should be able to talk if you have a headset. If you don't have a headset or a microphone, then just remember in the bottom right-hand corner, there is a chat bar. So it's right next to participants. You just click chat. And I would love to know, what are some of your strategic goals for 2013? What would you like to focus on this year? So just give me 1 second, and I'll go ahead and follow
you. You are now unmuted.
All right. Does anyone want to share what a strategic goal for the next year is? No one? No takers?
I will.
I want to talk.
Okay. Oh. Awesome. So who, let's see, who was Lisa first or Monica?
It doesn't matter. You can go, Lisa.
No, Monica, go for it. Maybe Lisa didn't want
to. Okay. My goals are, as a, I'm a makeup artist, so my goal would be for me to actually do more workshops, because that's where, in classes, because that's where my money came in at, the most revenue. And to do more weddings, because that's where the bulk of my money comes from. So I plan on focusing on those two things mostly.
Okay, workshops and – that makes sense, workshops and weddings. So in your case, I talked about what marketing strategies will you focus on in 2013. So you're going to want to focus on those marketing strategies that are going to help you fill your workshop and help you with weddings. So to me, strategic alliances would be really, really key for me when it comes to the wedding. You know, obviously, I would think that, you know, aligning yourself with other wedding professionals, since that's largely maybe a referral-based business, would that be correct, a referral-based, you know, community? I think, you know, that would be something that you'd want to spend quite a bit of time on, you know, fostering relationships with other wedding professionals, in addition to the other things that work for you. Anyone else want to share?
I'll share. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. And who am I speaking with?
Oh, okay. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Oh, okay. For me, it's about I want to build my brand and expand on the brand. For 2012, my biggest moneymaker was actually at the launch party and the event, believe it or not. And so I want to expand with having events more often on various topics. still pertaining to the brand, but also building the community around Brown Sugar
okay.
Sheet.
Yeah. So that's good that you noticed that the launch party brought in quite a bit of revenue. So that tells you, you know, like you said, that events are important for you, but then also showcasing Brown Sugar Sheet and expanding. So one of the things I like to do, and I think, Lisa, you've seen this before, I think we've done this before, is, you know, how you spend your time. And, I show you the grid, and we focus on one thing each quarter. So I would think about, you know, when we go forward, when getting ready to go into our 90-day action plan, which we're going to talk about, is focusing on one of those things, expanding your brand. I mean, really putting concentrated effort into, you know, one of those things that you would like to do in the next year. So before I put everyone else back on mute, anyone else want to share? All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Lisa and Monica, for being willing to share with the group.
You are now muted.
All right. So let's get to the business. So here is, I like to break the year down into quarters. Everyone can do this differently. For me, I think a three-month time period. Now, within that quarter, I also look at monthly goals, but the quarter gives me an opportunity to determine if all of the things spent time on actually working for me or not. And I think what happens is that people, business owners, they don't track where they're spending their time, and they don't track if they're meeting their goals. So they turn around, and before you know it, it's the end of the year, and they're like, hey, I didn't make nearly as much money as I wanted to make. Well, that's probably because there wasn't a mechanism in there for you to track on a regular basis. So if you, the third page is your 90-day action plan. So what is your revenue goal for the next 90 days? Now, I want you to be realistic. I know that you set a yearly goal, and that's fine. But here's something that, you know, can happen. You can have a lower goal for the first 90 days and then increase it. So say your goal was to make $60,000 for next year. Your goal for the first quarter may be to make $10,000. And then your next quarter, maybe $15,000. So there you go, two quarters, that's $25,000. And then you can increase it. You know, you've got another 35 or so left. And then you can just split that. And before you, and you can still make your goal at the end of the year. Because in most businesses have seasons. And when you're tracking on a monthly basis, and then you look at it each quarter, you can determine when your season is. So for people who are in the tax-related business, you know, accountants and so forth, they bring in the bulk of their money towards the later part of the first quarter and the beginning part of the second quarter. It's quite possible that that person whose business is based around the taxes, they may bring in, if their goal is $60,000, they may bring in $40,000 of that in the last month of the quarter and the first month of the second quarter. So their goal may only be $5,000, $10,000, you know, during Q3, Q4. I mean, here we go. Here's another example that I'd like to give you. Right now we're in Christmas season. You know why we have Black Friday? Because Black Friday is the day that the stores go in the black. So they are at a loss from January 1st until the day after Thanksgiving, which if you think about, is quite ridiculous. They're huge companies that have huge reserves and resources. You as a solopreneur or a small micro business, you don't have the resources or luxury to be in the red from January 1st all the way to the day after Thanksgiving. You'll be homeless. You wouldn't have any lights. Your family would look at you like you're crazy, and you'd be going to look for a job. So I do ask you to be a little realistic when it comes to setting your goals. And someone asked if there's more than one slide. There are several slides, but you don't actually need to see the slides. I'm not sure. Is maybe the screen's not sharing anymore. Let me see. Right now, what you guys should see on your screen should state action plan. Do you guys see that? And the slides are merely for, it was my way of getting you guys to actually sit down and spend a dedicated time, because we could have done this just in a teleseminar. We could have just been on the phone, and you guys just couldn't listen on a conference call. So my reason for making it a webinar is because I know that most of you, and not all of you guys, are on the webinar. Some of you guys are just on the phone, I can tell. But the reason for me making it a webinar is because I really wanted you guys to sit down and actually think about these things and answer these questions and look at your business. So going back to the, you know, what is your revenue goal for the next 90 days? And then I ask you to pick one strategic priority that you're going to focus on in the next 90 days. So let me share with you what my priorities are and strategic goals for the for 2013. One of them is going to be to expand my personal finance and business finance platform. I wanted to focus on doing speaking engagements this year, and I did quite a few. And then next year, I'd like to expand that. I'd like to go beyond the specific type of events that I spoke at this year and kind of go a little further. So I'm going to spend time on expanding my personal finance and business finance platform. Another strategic goal that I have this year is to build is to have a couple of different products. Right now I have two products. You know, one of them focuses on a side hustle. The other one focuses on getting out of debt. At the first of the year, I'm going to do a class that's going to be called Focus on Money, and that's going to be kind of a 4 weeks to profit class. And the reason why I want to do that is because sometimes while I offer one-on-one consulting, and if you guys can think about the, how this applies to your business, when I offer one-on-one consulting, not everyone is able to afford the one-on-one consulting at that time, or they don't really know if I'm the person that they want to spend their resources with to work one-on-one. So by me offering a class or a webinar, it gives them a taste of who I am. It lets them know how I work and if they want to continue to work with me. So think about that when it comes to your business. I know we have the makeup artist, you know, the workshop. That's a great way for you to leverage your business. It's a great way to offer another service that's not quite come to my home and, you know, do my face. That might be a little bit of a stretch for a person when their first time that they meet you. But if you're offering to do something smaller, that gives them a taste of your business and that gives them an opportunity to work on that. So, you know, I do a workshop that's called I call it the martini glass of your martini glass of product. And we look at the different levels because you should really, you know, take a second and envision, you know, a martini glass. And you've probably heard of it referred to as a marketing funnel. Well, I like martini glass. So when you think about a martini glass, the top of the martini glass is wide. And you should have tons of people that come into that martini glass. Usually you have people that you're offering free services, or not necessarily free services, but maybe it's your blog post if you have a blog. Maybe it's the newsletter. Tons of touch points for them to come in and learn a little bit about you. And then they trickle down. And so maybe, you know, they come into your, maybe if you have a salon, they come in for, eyebrow wax. And then next time they come in for a pedicure. And then maybe after that they may come in for a pedicure and manicure and eyebrow wax. And then before you know it, they came in for a full day of service. But it took a minute for them to get to that full day of service. So in the way that applies in my business is that, you know, maybe working one-on-one with me is kind of like at the very bottom of that. And there's only a few people that will come there. So if my business is based only on one-on-one, then I would have to work extra hard to get to reach my revenue goals. So that's just kind of like a little snippet of what you should be looking at as far as people coming into, you know, your funnel. So where were we at? Let me grab my notes really quick. So which three products and services or services will you focus on in the next 90 days? Now, you want to pick the one that you know is going to bring in some money, that you're doing well with, and that you've had a proven track record. Now, if you have a seasonal business and January through, you know, March, like I use the example of a pedicure, some women get pedicures during the winter, but not necessarily. So that wouldn't be necessarily something that you would have an extra promotion with. Would be pedicures, because most women maybe aren't going to get it, or they get one maybe once every, at a less frequency than they do when it's springtime. But you know, the moment that the sun is shining, that might be something that you push. You may make the bulk of your money may come from pedicures or from highlights or things that you do in the springtime, and that's right around the second quarter. So think about those things. There's a great resource that I use. And this goes a little bit into seasonal marketing and other things like that. And it's called Marketing Calendar Blueprint. And I'll actually send you guys a link with a little snippet and give you some information about it. But it's planning your year based upon holidays and things to that effect. So there are some holidays in your business that may resonate with you and resonate with your community than as far as others. You know, the easy ones are the ones that we're in now, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. But for the tax person, it is tax season. For myself, I'm in the financial industry. Financial Literacy Month is in April. So April is an important month for me. So I spend time in April. I have specific promotions, so to speak, in April, because financial literacy is a really, really big month for me. If your business is based on summer camps and things to that effect, or your business is based around kids, then maybe when kids get out of school, you want to pay attention to that and know when those holidays are. Hallmark has a really, really great holiday calendar. So when you're planning your year and what you're going to focus on, you might look at the Hallmark holiday calendar and determine what holidays apply to your business. And because we're doing the strategic planning session right now at the beginning of the year, then you can turn around and do the same exact thing at the end of the quarter and work on the next quarter. And then what three marketing strategies will you focus on in the next 90 days? So I like a mix. I like to do the old tried and true, and then I might try one thing that I haven't tried before. And I commit to trying that for 90 days to see if it works. And then this is a bigger one. In order for you to achieve these goals over the next 90 days, what action do you need to take? So I said one of the other things on my strategic priority was that I wanted to expand Smart Money Chicks and have more Smart Money Chicks chapters. So in order for me to achieve that, I have to launch the first one, and then I have a list that I've been keeping of other people who've contacted me and asked for other Smart Money Chick chapters. So in order for me to reach that goal, I have to prepare my marketing materials, and I have to be ready to bring other people on. So I'm going to spend some time on that. And in order for me to do that, I need to market in my calendar that this is the time that I am going to spend on that. Because it's one thing to set these goals, but if you don't select specific time to work on them, then it doesn't matter. And that's a whole nother conversation, working on your business versus working in your business. But just think about that. When you're setting the goals, when are you going to spend your time doing it? It's the same thing applies to health. It applies to learning a new hobby. When do you spend the time working on it? So it's not enough just to write this down. You want to write it down here, but then you also want to write it down in your calendar. And then what resources do you need? Is it something electronic? Do you need a new software? Do you need some, you know, new equipment? Do you need counsel from someone? What are the resources you need? And then once you reach those goals, how are we celebrating? I like to celebrate with a day at the spa. like a full day at the spa. You may not celebrate with a day at the spa. You may have dinner with your friends. So how are you going to celebrate once you've reached your 90-day goal? And it's important for you to put something there that's an incentive. So I know this seems like a lot, and like I said in the beginning, some of you guys came in a little bit later. You do not have to do this all today. You may not know the answer to all of these questions today, but over the next 7 to 10 days, you'll probably have some downtime. So within the next 7 to 10 days, spend some time working on these things. Now you know what frame of mind you should be in and what you need to do to give yourself a really, really good, solid foundation. So this is an opportunity for you to do that. And I want to offer you guys an opportunity that if you would like to work in depth with this, if you need more counsel, if you feel like just answering these questions and looking at your business, you need one-on-one help, then I'm always available. You know, like I said earlier, I do offer one-on-one consulting. But since you guys attended the call, I would be willing to probably reduce the one-on-one consulting fee. It's the holiday, so we'll probably do, say, 50% off, so $95 an hour is what my strategic session is. So if you want to do an hour and you can break that hour up in however you want, I'd be willing to do that for you guys for $40. Or you can send me an email, and I'll answer an email from you. So you guys have two options there. But let's get into Q&A because you guys may have some questions. And I want to let you go still in the timely manner so it's not too late. So I'm going to put you guys, I'm going to unmute you. And if you have any questions, let me know.
You are now unmuted.
All right, guys, you're unmuted. Was this a lot?
No.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Can you hear me?
Okay. So, yeah, I hear you good. I hear you fine.
This is Chantel. How are you?
I'm good, Chantel. So do you know what business you're going to start?
Yes. I've always wanted to start a cosmetics business. And
okay.
I guess right now, my plan for the next 90 days would include just getting that, my whole plan is what my brand will be. I have ideas written down of what my products would be and services would be, but in terms of getting it down on paper, what my brand would be, who exactly I'll be marketing to and how, those are the sorts of things that I'm learning how to do because I can't, right now revenue is zero, the goal is zero right now because I'm working on seeing how to even project that, you know, for the client base that I would have.
So, okay, I'm sorry. Tell me, repeat that one more time.
I said that, you know, I can't project any income yet because I'm still in the development phase of the product, but I know what I'm trying to create, and it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, what my market penetration would be, you know, in order to make a goal, in order to, like, project the annual goal. Like, I would have to figure out, you know, where are these people that would purchase this product? I mean, I know who they are. I know who my client is, but the question would be, like, how far can I go? What can I actually produce? How many units can I actually produce to be sold? Those are still things, I mean, this year, those are still the questions that I would have to answer before I make a projection.
Right. So, in your case, So when you say your goals aren't going to be revenue-based starting off, what will be important to you and goals that you're going to want to set is testing your market, especially when you are creating a product, testing the market and making sure that what the product that you create is the product that people actually want and not what you want, because that's really, really important. A lot of people, you know, tend to create products or services, and it's not just, you know, an instance with a cosmetic line, that's a little bit more of a lead time, it's a little bit more extensive. So you have way more skin in the game than, say, someone who, like me, who I may decide that, hey, I'm going to teach a class on investment banking 101 or how to, you know, how to work with an investment advisor. I know that people want to work with, I know that people need to work with an investment advisor, but are people going to pay for that? Probably not. There's just so much information that's out there offered freely, but that's something that I want to offer, but that doesn't mean that people are going to pay for it. So in your case, it is figuring out your market. It's figuring out, is there a market for it? What are they looking for? What are the trends? Doing a little bit of competitive research, you know, competitive analysis, figuring out what are other people offering, and maybe focus groups, quite a bit of focus groups. So you may decide that. So for quarter one, I'm going to hold a focus group and ask people questions and get lots of information. And focus groups, while I tell people that you can make extra money with focus groups, you don't necessarily have to offer money. You can offer to buy them lunch or buy them breakfast and ask them questions.
That's a good point. I was just watching. I don't know how to create a focus group, but that's one of the things that I was thinking about doing is having some focus groups. But I don't know. Is there like some kind of ethics thing where do you have them test out your product ahead of time? Those are some things that I wouldn't know how to do. Do you do it yourself, or do you ask someone else, a company, to do it? Like, those are some of the things that I'm not sure about.
That's a good question, and I'm going to be honest and say that when it comes to products and testing out products, that's not necessarily in my wheelhouse. So what I would suggest that you do, especially because it's products and, you know, there can be chemicals, I'm assuming there are chemicals, what I would suggest you do is look to see if you have some type of industry association or industry organization that governs cosmetics, and look into that and see if they have any resources. Okay, so look into that and see if they have any resources in reference to testing products and offering. I mean, if people have to sign waivers or something to that effect, that's not a question that I can answer, but I bet the information is out there. And if you don't find the information, just, you know, shoot me a message and I'll see what a little bit of research I can do for you.
Thanks so much. Great advice.
Awesome. So Tina asked, comes after, her question was on the chat, since she's a travel specialist and the commission comes after the trip is completed, how should I plot out my revenue goal? That's interesting. I did not know that you received your commission after the trip was taken. So one of the things that, I don't know if this happens or not, but one of the things you'd want to look into is making sure that you are offering, you know, the best customer service and doing the, vetting your people up front, so you're not spending time on, you know, tire kickers. You know, I think I mentioned that my background is in real estate, so I can't tell you how many times when I was doing real estate full time, how many times I would get people who would call me and want to purchase the house and they didn't have a job. And they would want to purchase a house in a year or 2 years. And it's really easy to get, kind of sucked into spending quite a bit of time with them and not knowing whether or not they're even a good customer. So that is something you want to spend time, you know, making sure that you are taking them from beginning to end. And then the excursions. So if you do receive your money up front for excursions, then I'd want to put together, you know, a great package and, you know, vet them and make sure, hey, here's the excursions. That's something you want to offer and kind of spotlight. But I read a really interesting article today, and I'll send it out. It was on Open Forum in reference to the, I'm sorry to say, the worst businesses for 2013, and travel was one of them. Just the traditional methods of travel was one of them, but what wasn't, what they suggested instead was boutique travel. So there are ways that you're putting together and packaging a whole trip or packaging experience, and those are doing really, really well. So I'll send the link to you, but it was on Open Forum, so you may want to look into that. The other thing is, I imagine maybe looking into more groups. So if there's a way that you can raise the amount of money that you make on each trip, so as opposed to booking for one person, you're booking for 10 people or 15 people, then that money would last you a little bit longer than if you were just booking for one person. So even though you're not getting paid until the trip is complete, you're getting paid for, you know, 10 people as opposed to one person. So I hope that's helpful. All right. Anyone else have any questions? All right. So here are your next steps, and you do have next steps. So the next step is to go back over, you know, your plan. If there are any questions you did not answer, you maybe needed to do a little bit of research, go ahead and do that research and fill this out, and kind of plot what your next 90 days looks like and what you want to spend time on. I really wanted to do this for a couple of reasons. I experience all the time people who say to me, you know, that they're not making enough money with their business, and I can clearly see that there are ways that they can make money. And most of the time it comes from the fact that they don't have the plan, they don't have a plan in place, so they're not sure where they're spending their time, or they're spending their time with the wrong customer or the wrong client. So I want everyone to be successful. I don't want to be successful by myself, and I'm working really hard. And the way that I was able to work through this is because I did this myself. I spent the last 2 weeks ago, I spent about a good week working on what does 2013 look like for me? Where am I going to spend my time? How am I going to spend my time? I know when my slow periods are coming up. I'll give you a little heads up. In January, the first week, I think the second week in January, we're going to do a call. We're going to talk about, I think it's 21 quick cash strategies. So when times are slow in your business, I'll offer you guys some examples of things that you can do to get a quick injection of cash. But this is beneficial for you guys. This will only help you. And you don't have to share with anyone. You can go and look at it periodically. This isn't written in stone. Things change. But I found that most people who are successful have some type of plan, and they look at their numbers. And I know the numbers are scary, but if you have to grab a glass of wine before you look at the numbers, or, you know, something sweet, just go for it and know that we are all doing it together. So I thank you guys so much for spending this Thursday night with me. I wish you guys all a happy day.
You are now muted.
To having the best success, for that you guys are successful in 2013. So thanks, guys.